Good morning, everyone. Today's lesson from Dzogchen Rinpoche, which is Sloka 29. Why are we not omniscient like Shiva? The three bonds of anava, karma, and maya veil our sight. This is Shiva's purposeful limiting of awareness, which allows us to evolve. In the superconscious depths of our soul, we share God Shiva's all-knowingness. Just as children are kept from knowing all about adult life until they have matured into understanding, so too is the soul's knowledge limited. We learn what we need to know, and we understand what we have experienced. Only this narrowing of our awareness, coupled with a sense of individualized ego, allows us to look upon the world and our part in it from a practical human point of view. In other words, if we weren't narrowed, if our awareness wasn't narrowed, we wouldn't be motivated to act in the world. We just sit there in bliss all day. Bliss, bliss. But the soul isn't mature, so it's going to enjoy bliss, but it's not going to realize its oneness with God. It's not mature enough to do that. So how does it mature? By this process of taking seriously the person we are. We take seriously the person we are, and we act in the world identifying with that person. We have experiences, we learn from those experiences, so we mature. So it's an important process. So I'll read that sentence again. Only this narrowing of our awareness, coupled with a sense of individualized ego, allows us to look upon the world and our part in it from a practical human point of view. Pascha is the soul's triple bondage, maya, karma, and anava. Without the world of maya, the soul could not evolve through experience. Karma is the law of cause and effect, action and reaction, governing maya. Anava is the individuating veil of duality, source of ignorance and finitude. Maya is the classroom, karma the teacher, and anava the student's ignorance. The three bonds or malas are given by Lord Shiva to help and protect us as we unfold. Yet God Shiva's all-knowingness may be experienced for brief periods by the meditator who turns within to his own essence. Tirumandaram explains, when the soul attains self-knowledge, then it becomes one with Shiva. The malas perish, birth's cycle ends, and the lustrous light of wisdom dawns. Karma, the teacher, is important, and one way of looking at that is the cycle of Icha, Kriya, and Jnana, desire, action, and wisdom. Desire leads to action, guaranteed. But action doesn't necessarily lead to wisdom. So we can get stuck in a cycle doing the same things. Desire leads to action, desire leads to action, desire leads to action. Finally, we realize that this isn't the wisest action. So finally, we get some jnana, and then what happens? We get a new desire, more refined desire. That desire leads to action. We go back and forth, desire, action. And then finally we get some wisdom. Though the wisdom doesn't come necessarily from each action. It can take us a while to catch on. But it does come, and eventually we do change our behavior based upon the wisdom. And that's the important part that we learn. If we're not learning from our experiences, then we're not going to move forward as quickly as we could in our spiritual evolution. An important part of Gurudeva's teachings are the idea of, is the dual idea of becoming and being, which shows itself in different ways. The way it is shown here . This is Shiva's purposeful limiting of awareness, which allows us to evolve. So that's the becoming. We're evolving, we're changing, something's happening. And the next sentence, in the superconscious depths of our soul, we share God Shiva's all-knowingness. That's the being. So that's already the case. Nothing has to happen, nothing has to change in order for that to be true. It's like having something you forgot you have, you know, and you finally open the bottom drawer and you say, oh, look what's there. I forgot I had that. But you had it all the time, right? You just weren't looking in the right place. Oh, similarly, God Shiva's all-knowingness is always inside of us. We're just not necessarily aware of it. But we don't have to do anything for it to be there. That's the important thing. We just have to look in the right place at the right time. Gurudeva mentions that again here at the end. Yet God Shiva's all-knowingness may be experienced for brief periods by the meditator who turns within to his own essence. Paramaguru Yogaswami has some simple but profound ways of stating the idea of our or God's omnipresence, which I thought I'd share. Bliss, bliss, nothing but bliss. I am here, I am there, I am everywhere. So the interesting point in this perspective is you don't find the word Shiva anywhere, right? Just find the word I. He's just so identified with it that it's just who he is, this omnipresence. I'm everywhere. I'm omnipresent. It's just a part of himself. Now I am sitting here. I am in England also. I am also in America. So this quote shows how natural it is to him. You know, he's just sitting there in his hut. And he's also in two other countries inside his mind, in touch with what's going on there. We can give initiation by thought to people in Singapore while remaining here. So now he's starting to use this omnipresence to do something. It's not just, you know, I'm omnipresent, I'm aware of what's going on in Singapore, saying, no, I can actually initiate someone in Singapore through this power of being omnipresent. Very interesting. Sat Chit Ananda. That is one thing. Sat Chit Ananda. Sat is you are. Chit is omnipresence. Prakasha, light is from the sun, all-knowing. Ananda is bliss. They are three, but they are one. That is your nature. Oh, he's pointing out, you know, that is your nature. It's in everyone. And, you know, that's the important point. Sometimes when we hear these high truths, we just think about them as being true to the person who's saying them. Oh, that's what he's experiencing, that's what she's experiencing. But he's pointing out this is the truth about everyone. Everyone has Satchidananda as part of their nature. Couple more. I am everywhere. You are everywhere. But you don't believe it. But what's he showing? He's showing that our intellectual concepts can be a barrier. We can't be everywhere. We're too impure, right? Or, you know, what I did yesterday, you wouldn't think I was everywhere. You know, it's some imperfection we think of in ourselves, and therefore we're not worthy of being everywhere for some reason today. But we want to take away that sense that of not believing it. Aham Brahmasmi, you are God, you are everyone, you are everywhere. Learn this. This is practice. This quote is pointing out that to experience our omnipresence, we need not only give up the concepts that say we can't be that yet, but also pursue a practice that brings us into that state. Of course, this would be some form of meditation. See God everywhere. This is practice. First do it intellectually, then you will know it. It's similar to Gurudeva's idea that visualization of something is the first step toward experiencing it. So this is saying that same thing another way. First do it intellectually, conceptualize it, then you will know it. So one last quote here from Gurudeva. He can travel here and there with his own 747 without extraneous external conveyances. He's talking about the internal 747, not the external one. He knows the goings-on in far-off places. He is consciously conscious of his own karma and dharma and that of others. For him, there is no apartness due to his attainment within the chakras previously described. His only gift to others, to the world, would be blessings, an outpouring of energy to all beings from the higher planes where he resides. It is the Jnani, the enlightened being, who sees beyond duality and knows the oneness of all. He is the illumined one, filled with light, filled with love. He sees God everywhere, in all men. He is the one who simply is, and who sees no differences. That is his difference. Thank you very much. Have a great day.